Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer remains locked on our website, kptz.org. The website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all our DJs and hosts. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town, and you can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some of the earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who is that couple learning to sail down at the Maritime Center? He said they've only been here a couple of months. They decided to sell their house in California because the super overheated housing market there was about to take a nosedive. They came up here in part because the housing was so very affordable. Sort of a giggle when everyone around here is complaining about the lack of affordable housing. I guess it's all in your perspective. Who's in the audience at the Thursday evening concerts on the dock? Many seem like locals, with a smattering of tourists. But who are those dancers, oblivious to everything except the sunshine and the music? Did the same crowd also go to the Free Fridays at the Fort? I guess people really love free music. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile a few of the singular personalities who live here, but the show is only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County, amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Cameron Roberts, owner of Dogs Afoot and the man behind the newly revived kitchen at Manresa Castle. So let's start at the beginning, Cameron. Are you a local boy born and bred in Port Townsend?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's ironic. I think 9 out of 10 guests I have at some point arrived from somewhere else. So your parents lived here?
Yeah, my father actually graduated high school here. So wow. I am a second generation Port Townsend kid.
Wow, that's amazing. So you went to Port Townsend High School.
I did for a good amount of time, and then I ended up graduating from Jefferson Community School.
I'm always curious about people's high school years. Not only is it a pretty formative time, but your peers pigeonhole you, and you might not like what they pigeonhole you as, but what do you think your peers thought of you in that era?
I have no idea. I was around in high school for a decent amount, but I left high school about junior year and went and lived in Thailand for about 6-7 months. And when I came back, I started going to school at JCS. So I think in my last final years of high school in Port Townsend, I wasn't really around a whole lot.
Well, JCS, I don't know much about it. Do they have formal classes or is it all individual study? How does it work?
At least when I was there, they did definitely have formal classes. There were some individual study things for me just because I was one of the older people in the school at the time. There were some individual study things just to make sure that I was on track to graduate. But other than that, there was mostly you were in classes.
Well, you had peers there then, too.
Yeah. I did.
And what did they think of you?
I have, probably just some weird kid who spoke Thai.
Well, that set you apart, that's for sure.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. After you graduated, what did you do next?
When I graduated from high school, I applied for a college in Thailand, and I got in. So I went over to Thailand and went to my four-year degree overseas in Southeast Asia.
So you're awfully young to be heading off to Thailand. Did your parents have any feelings about this?
I'm sure my mother probably was very nervous, and my dad was probably very nervous as well, but they were very supportive of the idea of going and exploring the world and learning things abroad, and they didn't show their nervousness all that much.
Well, you went over earlier, before graduating from high school, you said you went sort of in the middle for a period of time.
Yeah, I went when I was a junior in high school for about 7 months and lived and taught English over in Thailand.
Did you live with a family there?
No, I rented a house and lived there by myself. Yeah.
And you were 16?
16, about, yeah.
Wow. Most people don't rent a house by themselves when they're 16, much less in Thailand.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a learning experience. It was very scary in the beginning and, you know, a lot of homesickness kind of in the middle. But I think in the ending, it was a really amazing experience to have as a kid to be able to feel like I was growing up a little bit and learning a bunch of new things that I might not have been able to do in Port Townsend.
Well, just little things like shopping for groceries or doing your laundry and all of this. You were totally on your own for that.
Yeah. I ate at the local restaurant every day. So
okay. That takes care of that.
Yeah. I didn't do a whole lot of grocery shopping. I didn't have to make a lot of my own food. That's a benefit of being in Thailand a lot of times is you can go to the local restaurant and eat for only about $1 a meal. So it's not particularly
difficult to do. Yeah, I can see that's a good strategy. That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went back and you went to university in Thailand. What was your major?
International Business Management.
Okay. And after you graduated, what was your next step?
After I graduated, I moved back to the Northwest and I ended up in Seattle. And I was trying to piece together what money and jobs. And I had an internship at Fuse Washington, the local Northwest nonprofit, for a while. And I was working at cafes and doing other things just to kind of piece things together in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any grand vision of where you were going to end up, what you were going to do?
Not even remotely. I think that's the trick about that time period is you're kind of trying to figure out what it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any idea necessarily.
You know, a lot of people, when they're in their early 20s, right after university, they want to go somewhere different. Like if they grew up in the Pacific Northwest, they want to go to New York City or wherever.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea about going elsewhere, or was Seattle always in your cards?
Yeah. At the time, when I was thinking about moving back to America, I was looking at a lot of cities that had attracted me in some way or another. And it ended up being that Seattle was like the cheapest place to rent an apartment in at the time.
At the time.
And I was like, oh, well, you know, I could rent an apartment in Seattle for a third of the price I could rent it in San Francisco. I might as well try moving to Seattle, which is what I think, you know, I've always loved the Northwest. And so that was one of the things that probably drew me back, oddly enough.
Okay. So you're in Seattle and you're doing a variety of things, bartending and
Eventually I moved from working as a barista. I ended up bartending and started managing some restaurants. And then then moved back into more bartending. And it kind of just ended up being in the food scene. I wanted to make sure that I kept up my Thai language skills. So I applied at a lot of Thai restaurants and got worked into that kind of environment and that crew.
Well, that makes logical sense. I know your wife is Thai.
Yeah.
Were you already married at that point in time?
No, I was not. I met her later when about 2 or 3 years after I moved back to America, I was chaperoning a trip of kids from the Expedition Club.
Mm-hmm.
The Expedition Club is a local nonprofit in Port Townsend that takes high school kids over to Thailand to do cultural immersion. And I was chaperoning the group and I met her in the village that we take the high school kids to. She was a student teacher over there at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your father is very active in the Expedition Club. Can you just quickly explain that connection?
Yeah. So my father was a high school teacher here, and he taught at Blue Heron for a little bit, but he was a high school teacher here for around 30 years. And then when he retired, he really believed firmly in, and he still believes, in experiential education. So he started this trip to take kids over to Thailand and do this cultural immersion into a small village. It was started in 2003, and it has gone on ever since, about either one or two trips a year.
And roughly how many kids each trip?
That varies. In the beginning, it was significantly more kids. We just had much loftier ideas. We're like, oh, we can take 30 kids. And now we're like, nope, a group of 13 is about as much as we want to handle.
Reality.
Yeah,
exactly. And your father's name is?
Jim Roberts, James Roberts. Okay. A lot of people call him Robbie.
Okay, because I would imagine a lot of our listeners know him or know of him.
That's very possible, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you met your wife on one of these trips, and did she return with you to Seattle?
Not immediately.
Had she been to Seattle before?
No, she'd never been really out of the country before.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so it was a big kind of cultural shock.
Big adventure for her.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You have to ask for a visa to come to America. So
right.
She stayed there. I came back and I quit my jobs and then I flew back to Thailand.
Okay, so the two of you come back to Seattle. Were her parents upset about the idea of her moving halfway across the world?
I don't think that they were necessarily upset. I think they liked me. But I think they liked me yeah. At the time. I don't know. Now I feel like they like me. But at the time, maybe they had a lot more reservations about me than they probably voiced.
Right. Well, it's hard to let a child, particularly a daughter, go off.
Yeah. And they had to have a lot of faith. She's coming over to America to live in a city for the very first time, minimal language skills, and not really knowing what's about to be on the other side of that airplane. So
yeah,
it had to have been.
It's brave.
Yeah, awfully nerve-wracking, pretty scary.
Yeah. Okay, you're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the unique people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Cameron Roberts, the owner of Dogs Afoot and the entrepreneurial spirit behind the latest reincarnation of Manresa Castle's kitchen. Cameron was just telling me after university, he ended up back in Seattle, but moreover, he had met and married a Thai woman and brought her back to Seattle, too. So the two of them settled down in Seattle, and what did you do then, career-wise?
She worked in the restaurant scene, and I worked in the bartending scene. We didn't work in the same restaurants a lot, just so we could have some time apart, but eventually we decided that we were kind of fed up with Seattle in some way or another, and so after we got married, we decided to move to a small town, and it was really my wife's idea to take a crack at Port Townsend again.
Huh. I gather she would have come up here and visited Port Townsend.
Yeah, while we were living in Seattle. We lived in Seattle for about 4 years together before we...
So come and see your parents and see the town. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So were you enthusiastic about the idea of moving back to Port Townsend?
I don't think so in the beginning. I when you're a kid in small town Port Townsend, you just want to get out of Port Townsend. There's probably a lot of that still in my head when I was thinking about wanting to move back or not. But it makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's such a beautiful small town, and I have a lot of connections and family here. And so it's like, oh, yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense to move back there if we're going to move to a small town.
How many years altogether were you in Seattle?
I was there for about 6 years in Seattle.
Okay. So you moved back to Port Townsend. Now, the common complaint I hear from younger people, well, older people too, you moved to Port Townsend, but where are the jobs?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have something lined up when you first came back?
I was very fortunate when I got here. I got a job at Fort Worden. They were hiring, and I somehow stumbled into a really nice apartment. It was kind of serendipitous because I just stumbled back into Port Townsend and was able to find a job at Fort Worden and found a really nice apartment uptown. And I don't know how that happened. We took it as a sign because you come back, we're like, well, let's see if this will work. And you walk back and, oh, there's a nice apartment that's available. And, oh, there's a job that's available. I guess that means that we should move back.
Okay, so there are many things that happen at Fort Worden. What exactly were you doing when you first worked there?
I was bartending at Taps, which is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool place to work. We also decided that when we got back, we wanted to kind of do something on our own. So we started selling stuff at the farmer's market.
What?
We did Thai food at the farmer's market last year, so 2018. Cool. And that was a lot of work, but it was fun to do. We were doing it both while working other jobs simultaneously.
What was she working at?
She was working in the kitchen at Kular, a Thai restaurant downtown.
Okay. So on the weekends, you're at the market selling Thai food.
Exactly.
Did it turn that it was a popular item at the farmer's market?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. it was definitely worth doing. But market work is hard. It's setting up and taking down, and if it rains, and you're kind of just staying there in the rain. And
yeah.
It's a lot of work. Get up early, especially if you're working in the service industry in the other parts of your life, because maybe on a Friday night, you end up covering a shift and closing the bar down, and then you end up having to wake up really early and try to set everything up in the rain, and it can be very exhausting.
Yeah, because, what, the bars close at 2? But you'd have to close...
Well, yeah, Taps closes closer to 10 or 11, but still.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. You have some time for sleep. I was thinking, wow, you know.
Yeah, that would have been even harder.
The type of food that you were selling, can some of it be done way in advance, or is it all last minute?
Some of it. We found that, at least as far as market work goes, you kind of want to be doing some of it there because it's like a show. You kind of want people to be able to see it as they walk by.
And smell it.
And smell it. You know, it's kind of a part of the whole deal. And I think there's also the aspect of you only want to have to do something to one item. You don't want to have to cook it 7 times just to be able to serve it once. It just requires a lot more work. So you want to try to be able to prep and do the least amount of multiple types of cooking or multiple types of work on it, and just spends a lot of time and it's harder.
Just to say Thai food is a pretty sweeping generalization. Were there just a couple of specific dishes that you did? I assume there would be.
Yeah. At the farmer's market, we were doing northern Thai sausages, and we were doing chicken skewers, like chicken satay. Mm-hmm. And then we had like a veggie curry, and that was mostly it.
Yeah. Okay. So after the market closed, you, I assume, continued with your Taps job.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're, basically a year after that, and you've transitioned into something quite a bit bigger. How did it come about that you ended up the proprietor of Dogs Afoot?
Well, we were walking around downtown sometime during that summer when we were doing the farmer's market, and we saw that Dogs Afoot was for sale. Because I grew up going to Dogs Afoot, and John, the original owner, his wife was Thai. Her name was Sai, and it was known that he would go back to Thailand every winter. And we saw that, and we're like, you know what? That's kind of what we want to do, too. We want to be snowbirds in the future so we can get to Thailand in the winter and be here in the summer. And so it looked like something that we would like to do. And just the fact of keeping Dogs Afoot around is a great idea. We wanted to keep it around. It's been around for 35 years, so... We started looking into that. At the same time, I became friends with the owner of Manresa Castle, and we were looking for kitchens to do prep work and work for Dogs Afoot, and he had mentioned the castle and that it had a big restaurant and bar space, and he told me that it had been closed for the last 2.5 years, so we went up to check it out, and we decided that this would be a cool place to do some stuff as well and double utilize it so that it's helping prep stuff for Dogs Afoot.
So... did you go into both ventures simultaneously, or did you start with Dogs Afoot?
Pretty much it ended up being simultaneously in the sense that the castle ended up opening up ahead of time because the hot dog stand is closed during the season.
True.
So we signed over the hot dog stand in the first of the year, and we opened up the castle in October. So it kind of started a few months ahead of time of the hot dog stand, even though the hot dog stand was technically the first thing that we were interested in doing.
But it's seasonal, so it wasn't open then.
Yeah.
Okay. Both places have changed owners a few times in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Who were the current owners that you were dealing with?
So with the hot dog stand, the owners, they now own Aldridge's.
Right.
And they had bought the hot dog stand.
So that's Scott.
Rogers. Scott Rogers, yeah.
Sorry, Scott Rogers. Yeah. Okay. And Manresa, who...
And Manresa, there was no people in there doing food service at all. It had been closed for the last 2.5 years. So there, I was just dealing with the owner of the hotel. And his name's Ravine. And he bought the hotel about 2 years ago.
But the food part was closed.
Food part was closed.
Okay.
Yeah,
now, I've been to Dogs Afoot this summer, and it seems very much like Dogs Afoot in previous summers.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an institution around here.
Totally.
Do you have plans to do anything to change it or minor tweaking?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's Dogs Afoot, and you kind of want to keep it the same way that it's always been. You don't want to change it too much. We've been offering specials this year, basically dogs from around the world. Right now, we have a dog called a Thai dog, where we're taking the Thai sausages that we made at the market, and we're making it into a hot dog. We also are, you know, last week we did New York style, and the week before that we did a Brazilian style. And so we're just kind of mixing it up and adding some specials for all those people who come all the time so that they can try something new or try something interesting. And
yeah, although some people like to try the exact same thing every week. They're okay. And what about the space? Are you going to do anything interesting with the space?
Yeah, we hope to. We're trying to negotiate a lease for the elevator so that way we can kind of expand on that corner and really try to make that corner into a fun place to hang out. I'd love to put a little ping pong table in there or something for kids to play and or adults to play. And it would be fun to make that corner a fun spot to
hang
out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Now, I haven't personally been back to the Manresa for food. In fact, I wasn't really aware until we met that it was having food. What's the situation there? What are you serving?
So we're serving Asian fusion. My wife is the cook, so she has taken some traditional American dishes and put a little Thai spin on them. So we have sliders, or we have some street tacos, or we have some different types of stews, but they're all like kind of twisted with a little bit of Thai or Southeast Asian influence.
Nice. Now there's a beautiful old bar up there. Is that now open?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And what are the hours up there?
The hours are 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. every day right now. It is, the bar is open. You can eat inside of any area really around there. We do a lot of craft cocktails. I mean, the bar itself is such a beautiful old bar that came out of the Savoy Hotel back in the early 1900s.
Really? I didn't know that. It's beautiful wood.
Yeah, with old cast iron stained glass, which is
lovely.
Pretty insane, yeah.
In a previous incarnation, it was almost very separate. The bar was on one side and the restaurant's over here. Is it still set up like that?
I mean, physically, yes, in the sense that there are two rooms, and one of them allows children, and the other one does not.
True, there are laws about that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, so physically, that is the way it is. The way we have kind of designed it is that room is more of kind of an extension of the bar area in some way or another. So you can go sit on that side and eat food, you can sit on the bar side and eat food. We throw a lot of events inside of that restaurant space. We do comedy shows or burlesque shows in there. We will be starting like a paranormal podcast live in there. So there's a lot of like random things that are kind of happening, but they always happen in that room. So sometimes it's not a dining room. Sometimes it's a event space.
Okay. You mentioned paranormal. Local legend has it that there are ghosts up there. Is that what you think?
I don't know. I get asked that question a lot by a lot of amateur ghost hunters that kind of come through Manresa. I have personally not experienced anything scary, but I am also, because I have to go up there every day, I ain't looking to be scared.
Yeah.
So, so I always wish the ghost hunters like, yeah, I hope that you find exactly what kind of scary thing you're looking for. But if lights flicker
ghost
in this room, I go into the other room because I don't want to be scared. So I think that's part of it. I also think that there's just like a lot of people are looking to find something scary. You know, I think that in a space like that, you have, if a sound happens in your apartment, you kind of think, oh, that was my cat jumping off a piece of furniture, or the neighbor like dropped something. You know, you always rationalize it. Whereas there, when you hear a noise, you're like, that was a ghost. Like you don't like your rationality sometimes goes out your window, which could be true that maybe it's a ghost sometimes, but it also could be just someone dropping something on the ground. You don't really, it's hard to weed through all the random stories if you're going to try to find something that might be real.
Well, if our listeners wanted to find out what events were happening at the castle, how would they find out?
They can check out our website, thecastlenpt.com, like INPT, like in Port Townsend. Or they can follow us on like social media, which is also like thecastlenpt on Facebook or on Instagram. And
we
stay pretty up to date on all those things. We're working at getting all of our other events and all the other calendars as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I'm curious, and we're running pretty short on time, but can you name one or two dishes that are big popular sellers there?
Yeah, naming them is goofy because we have very goofy names for all of ours.
Okay.
We have a pork belly dish that's called Belly Idol. that's really awesome. We have a kind of flash-fried, stir-fried Brussels sprout dish, which is called United in Diversity. We have some sliders up there that are really good called the Amazing Sliders, man. And, I mean, there's a bunch of fun things, unique dishes. We really try at the castle to push people to explore. All of our liquors are probably liquors that you have never heard before because we want you to try something new. Like, the whole idea is that you want to, because when you get up to the castle, all you want to do is wander around and explore anyways. So
yeah, it's kind of fun. Well, it's good to try new things.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you really wanted just a, I don't know, gin and tonic, you could probably have it.
Oh yeah, we have gin and tonic. We just don't have necessarily the same brands that you might have become used to. Yeah
okay,
and we can make a lot of cool things.
That's good. Well, we're pretty short of time, but I'm just curious, now that you're back in Port Townsend and you're obviously as an entrepreneur working really hard, but if you stand back from it for a minute, how do you feel about Port Townsend? Do you think you made the right choice?
Definitely. I mean, this is such an awesome community, and it's been really cool to come back and kind of re-become a part of it in a different way than when I was, you know, as a kid. You know, you get to be a part of it in a much more solid way, and it's just nice to know that you have a community and that you can talk to people and you see them on the street, and you know, everyone kind of has each other's backs in some way or another, and it's a very nice feeling to be back here for sure.
That's good. One last question about the business. One complaint I get from a lot of people who own establishments is that good help is really hard to find. Have you been fortunate enough to find good staff?
Yeah, we have really awesome staff right now in a lot of ways. They are our cooks, besides my wife, are just super solid, very talented people, and all of our bartenders are working really hard to kind of create a relaxing social environment, and we've been very fortunate so far.
Well, best of luck in both establishments, Cameron, and our time is up. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. My guest today, Cameron Roberts, is a hometown boy who came home, is now running Dogs Afoot and Food and Beverage Biz up at Manresa Castle, where they have a lot of cool events too, like burlesque and comedy shows. So I want to thank you again. I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He smooths out all our mumbles and grumbles. He'll make the show sound so much better than we really are. Anyway, I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ Port Townsend is a community radio station. We're all volunteers here. We give our time because we feel that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We need your donations. We always need volunteers to help. Donations are particularly important right around now because we're trying to move out of our world headquarters in the parking lot of Mountain View School to a renovated building at Fort Worden. And as you all know, the buildings up there badly need renovation, so it's big bucks we're talking about. So we'll be happy to accept your donations. So listener, I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.